the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, I'm live at the region's Mecca, Mason and Guests. Yes. Are we going to be going until 7 o'clock tonight? And of course, if there's cricket, in fact, as I speak to you, the covers are coming off about an hour ago, driving rains in Bridgetown, but the drainage here at the region's Mecca is good. And I would imagine as the covers are coming off, we should be able to get some action in the CPL. So let me tell you that we're going to be going until 7 o'clock, and we've got a panel lined up already to look at what has happened in the CPL so far. We're going to go to Trinidad and Tobago. We're going to go to the hotspot, Guyana. And of course, we've also got a regular people here in Dr. Andrew Ford and Philo Wallace. And gentlemen, it's interesting as far as the competition is concerned. The Barbados Royals with a big victory against the Amazon Warriors. They're out front. The Sussex Kings have done an excellent job so far. And we want to look at the TKR, we want to look at the Falcons. They've not been doing well at all. But without any further ado, let me go to Akeem Green, who is very much in Georgetown, Guyana. Akeem, how are you?
I'm good, Andrew. I'm good as I can be.
All right. The tickets apparently are going like hotcakes. Is that right?
I don't know. I think you're using the wrong tense, Andrew. Going. I think it's gone.
They're gone.
I think probably I can tell you with certainty, where I don't have the exact numbers, that most, if not all, of the Guyana Amazon Warriors night matches are, you know, are very much sold. It's just the neutral matches, obviously, and I think the day match generally are, you know, a bit low on sales, but probably as we get closer to match day, they are going to go as well. But I know for sure the TKR match, you know, that's like trying to find, you know, diamonds right now or gold. It's a hard ticket to get. And most of those matches were sold out or close to sold out soon as tickets are open.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to come back to you shortly. Of course, the action is going to move into Trinidad and Tobago very soon after this game in Barbados. Sachin is with us. Hassel, Sachin, how are you?
Hi, Andrew. Hi, okay. Everybody. Akeem, my colleague from Guyana, all as well.
Akeem, Sachin is asking about your welfare.
I'm totally fine.
Okay, wonderful. Sachin, talk to us about Trinidad and Tobago. How things are going there in terms of ticket sales?
Similar situation to what Akeem mentioned. Tomorrow's game is actually sold out. That's at the Queen's Park Oval. That's the beginning of the TNT leg of the CPL. Then we have another match on Thursday. That game, let me get my figures right, as of 5 p.m. this evening from the box office, it's 85% sold out. So you can expect that when that game gets going at 7 p.m. ECT on Thursday, it will be sold out as well. Then on the 22nd of this month, That's on Sunday. That game is 75% sold out. So once the TKR does well on these two opening matches at the Queen's Park Oval, and the action moves south of Trinidad to their cricket academy, you can probably expect that game to be sold out as well on the 22nd. Then on 24th, which is Republic MCT, that match is about maybe about 5th. That because it's a day game and families tend to go to the beaches and so on, and lots of local vacationing happening on that day. Maybe that, which is the leg of the Trinidad and Tobago leg, that game is already 80% sold out. So you can expect that one to be sold out as well by the time we get to the 26th of September, which is the day before.
Interesting. Now, we've spoken, of course, about how things are going. What about the standard so far? George first joins me. George, are you happy with the standard so far?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the rest of the panel. Good evening to my friend Fitzroy over there in Leicester, England. Hey, Andrew, I am happy with the standards. I'm not looking for any fancy stroke plays like Carl Hooper, Lawrence Rowe, Basil Butcher, Coley, and the like. You know, the guys are giving 100%. The standard is good. I don't see anybody dominating the bowling. I don't see much bowlers dominating the batters. All I see is competitive cricket. I love what I'm seeing. Great entertainment. And I like what I'm seeing.
You are indeed. Dr. Ford, are you happy with the standard?
Yeah. Good night to all the panelists and to listeners. Well, I mean, things haven't been going so badly. But what I like is that the CPL seems to have got the order of the matches right. I mean, the way that the table is set up now with the Royals and, you know, close to the top, but you have Guyana and Trinidad in the middle with a chance to really come out and take over the competition. That's where the matches are going to eventually, and also the crowds are building. So the event is gradually building to a crescendo, and that's the way you like to see it. So I think in the end, it will be a successful tournament, and I'm happy for that, because CPL is the only way that Cricket West Indies can really get revenue from the game right now. So we need CPL to be successful, and I hope that's what will materialize.
Indeed. Philip Wallace, happy with the standard?
Hi, Andrew. Good evening. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to Sherlock Hart, my friend Boogie, and Carlos as heaven as well. Yeah, the standard has been okay, Andrew. Nothing really spectacular. Watch a few games at the Oval for the last couple of evenings. I'm also waiting out to watch the final game against St. Lucia, St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots. But we look at the standard grade, it's quite good from the Royals' point of view. We saw them obviously not doing well against TKR, but bouncing back. And that's where you want to see good scores. I thought the pitches at Kensington for the game so far have been very good. And obviously the crowd support for the last two games have been fantastic. TKR and the Ghana Amazon Warriors. So one would say that from that point of view, it's been a success. Yes, what Dr. Ford said is correct. Heading into the back end now, the two big teams who are headed home are Trinidad and Tobago, like Regis and Ghana Amazon Warriors. They'll be looking to take full advantage of being at home. So it sets up quite nicely going into the back end of the tournament. So the excitement is still building. And then we wait to see who the final four. But it's been good so far. I thought the bowling and the batting from the various franchises have been good.
All right. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to be going to Basil Butcher. I know he's got some stats, and we want to hear from him in relation to how he feels about the competition. Mason and guests, Broughton Association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Just before we go to Basil, just a report here. I'm live at Kensington Oval. It's looking a lot better. Just a couple of spectators here. The rain has stopped. And as I said, the drainage is very good. And I imagine that if there's no more rain, we should be getting cricket here at Kensington Oval. Basil, are you happy with the standard?
The standard has been a typical CPL.
What does that mean?
I mean, in terms of the standard, it when you rate it in comparison to some of the other tournaments, probably the BBL and IPL and CPL would come just behind them in terms of standard, because we often don't get the top international players coming to the CPL. So that's the obvious reason. But you know, you had asked me to look at the stats, sure, and so on. Mm-hmm. And you know, from a batting perspective, it's good to see that the West Indian batters, outside of the cup, he is the guy that's dominating the tournament from a batting perspective. But the other batters in the top five are all West Indians, and some of the big guns have not started to really strike yet fully. They're both heading home, Etmeyer and Mr. Puran. So you look to see them really making hay at the back end of the tournament. But from a bowling perspective, it's been the foreign bowlers that's been dominating for the most part, except we have a surprising Shamar Springer in the top there with 10 wickets. And Moti, as usual, 9 wickets. But the other bowlers is the Narkeas, the spinners from Afghanistan, the two spinners from Afghanistan, the one that plays for Trinidad, and Noor Ahmed that plays for the for St. Lucia, and Green. I mean, Green, like, he loves this CPL. Every time he comes, he's always in the mix there with the wickets, you know. So looking at the tournament thus far, it's falling into place with the bed. The cream is rising to the top. You know, the team from St. Kitts and the team from Antigua, they have not showed up. And I think it's in falling in order that the best four teams would be in the playoffs.
Okay, let's go back to Akeem now. Akeem, you said that it's difficult to get tickets in Guyana. What would it cost me to get a ticket in Guyana? Let's assume that I want to go to, say, to a big game, TKR up against the Amazon Warriors. What would that cost me?
I have no, apart from what it generally costs, what was it, $5,000, well, less Guyana dollars, $6,000 to go into the green stand or the red stand. I can't begin to imagine probably what someone may want to sell for it. I have no idea, because it would have obviously immense dollar value. But CPL tickets are generally the same, you know, across each territory, though, the ticket prices. So the most expensive one would always be the green stand. And that is about $6,000, which is like, what, 30,000, sorry, 30 US.
Mm, 30 US, okay. And of course, the party stand is going to be kicking, as they say.
Yeah, so there are two party stands where I think you stand a better chance of getting in. Which one? I think Pulse has one, and obviously there's also one Guyana stand as well. I think tickets are easily available for those because it's one of the high end all inclusives. But you know, in Guyana, by time that TKR match, I think every single ticket probably would be sold out.
Mm. Basil, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I actually got the actual prices. Someone sent it to me that you could go and get a ticket. No, that means you resell. Like what it says here on the grass, the game against the Patriots is 7,000. Guyana's game against Antigua is 6,000. The game against Barbados is 8,000. Trinidad is 15,000. The first qualifier is 10,000. Second, the fourth qualifier is 10,000, the finals is 17,000. That's on the grass. But then when you go, as Akeem was talking about the green stand, the green and the red stand are the more expensive ones in terms of the stands. The finals is 25,000 in the green stand, and the St. Lucia game is 7,000, and then the others is 15,000, 15,000, 13,000. And similarly in the red stand is like 13,000, 13,000, 7,000 for the game against St. Lucia. Trinidad game, 23,000. The qualifier is 15,000.
So you're saying for the finals, $25,000 Ghana dollars?
Yes.
And that's how much in how much in US?
$400 US.
Say that again.
That's a little bit over $100 US.
Akeem, is that right? Isn't that expensive?
It's very expensive, but remember those prices he called are not what CPL is being retailed. Those are what persons would have probably purchased and then resell the tickets.
Those are the reselling prices, Andrew.
Oh, okay. As
Akeem stated, most of those tickets were sold out the matter they went on sale.
And okay.
People are making hay with the reselling.
Okay. Is that the same thing in Trinidad, Sachin? Is that the same thing in Trinidad, Sachin?
Yeah. It's spot on, actually. You can get the ticket entrepreneurs that sell these tickets outside of the venues, and they usually mark up those prices by 300%. So if you have a ticket valid at 300 TT dollars, you can get that ticket outside from the ticket entrepreneurs, or what we call locally the scalpers. You can get that ticket for maybe about $600 or $700. And they also ask persons, do you have any tickets for sale when you're coming to the venue? And they buy those tickets from you at the regular cost that you paid for it. And then they will resell those tickets, similar to what Akeem and the stats gentleman are saying there, at a very exorbitant price.
Dr. Ford, are you accustomed to that kind of thing? Dr. Ford, are you part of that? You buy tickets and then resell them, Doc?
No, it's a very uncertain business. But, I mean, it sounds like things are really buzzing in Trinidad and Ghana. And it begs the question, are they the biggest T20 fans in the Caribbean? It's giving the Barbadian fans quite a run for their money, Andrew. I think we'd have to pick it up here.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Sorry to interrupt here, sir, but we are Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago. We are the biggest T20 fans in.
Wonderful indeed. Doc, your response to that?
How do you explain the lack of interest in the international T20? I know that the CPL is more West Indian with some external input, but where was that support for Puran and some of the others in the West Indian team?
Yeah, I think a lot of people love the cricket carnival atmosphere, especially I can speak for Trinidad and Tobago. They love party. They love the vibe, the rhythm sections, the tassa drumming, the carnival atmosphere. So if you could combine that together with cricket, which really unites the people, I think you have a real recipe for success. And I think that's the only reason why. The international games, you don't really have that type of atmosphere, that spectators coming out, maybe about 40 or 50%.
What effect would some, you know, the players from other countries? I think the standard has improved somewhat this year with people like Miller and Maharaj, and now even Jordan joining teams. Do you think that having greater input would sway this support, or do you think it's all homegrown in terms of Trinidad and Ghana? I guess Akeem could go first.
Akeem?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be hard competing against Guyana, Trinidad, and to another extent Barbados in terms of, you know, that kind of crowd support and the festive atmosphere. Look, I think CPL, and you asked a good question, why not for the international series? I think CPL as itself is a great product in the overall. And people, a lot of times, right, the people who are maybe fans of cricket don't actually be in the stadium. You know, you get new people who just go for the excitement, just go for the adult beverages or whatnot. You know, they just go for fun. And it's a different crowd from what you would probably see, a homegrown cricket fan going to see West Indies play. So a lot of times, these matches are usually at night. A lot of times you see of recent, especially when India comes, etc., the timings of those matches in the Caribbean are not very suitable to the average working person. Mm-hmm. Majority of the CPL matches, at least when the home sides are playing, or in the evening after working hours on weekends and stuff like that. So I think in essence, the whole everything that goes into marketing CPL as well, it's quite attractive to the average person. And obviously between Guyana and Trinidad, which has a lot of persons coming out to support cricket, you know, it is hard to beat those two.
Yeah. All right. Just hold your thought, but you come back, of course, stop before you can ask the question, but we've got to pause for business cause. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, in terms of the weather, it's a lot better. The pitch being rolled, I see the stumps are up, so the players are on the field as well. Of course, the drainage is here. Very, very good at Kensington Oval. Yes, Doc, you're asking the question.
Well, for the guys, I guess even for Basil, we had the women's CPL, and I guess the scheduling had to be done to accommodate the World Cup that's gonna take place shortly. But do you see maybe interspersing the women's CPL with the men's CPL, maybe? Mm-hmm. Having the women's during the day or maybe the odd night match for the women would help to bolster that support for the women's section and maybe to grow it?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Similar to what they do in England with the 100, where they have the women and the men's games for the different teams playing on the same day. You know, so I think that would be a good thing to do with the women's CPL and play alongside with the men, so to bolster the women's game. But just to add on to what Akeem said, in Guyana, I could speak for Guyana more than Trinidad, but it's probably the same in Trinidad. In those two countries, going to those CPL matches have become an event. It's not just simply going to a cricket match. It's just like here in the United States, where you got teams that even are the losing teams, but going to see them play, like I give an example, the Chicago Cubs, who was a losing franchise for nearly 100 years, but they would be always sold out because going to see a Cubs game was an event. They had created that atmosphere. And that's what has happened, I think, in both Guyana and Trinidad. And those two countries, I would say from the onset, I had said that last week, both of those countries embraced their CPL teams, wrap their hands around them from day one. So this local groundswell is something that has been nurtured and grown organically over the last, how many years the CPL has been in existence.
All right. Gentlemen, of course, we've got another 20 minutes left on the show, so it's very tight. Let's go to Philo Wallace. Philo, are you still in Barbados?
Yes, Andrew. I'm doing Cricket Legends, actually. I'm a Herbert host.
Okay.
Our CEO, Julia, has allowed me to use the annex to be part of your program, and I really want to thank her, actually, for
allowing me to come here. So she allows you to use it without charge. That's good. You've watched a couple of matches here, Philo. The atmosphere, absolutely brilliant. Were you happy with the standard? Give us an assessment of what you saw when you watched the matches here at Kensington.
Well, I knew the first game, obviously, was real effective. But you saw when Barbados played against the Antigua and Barbuda Falcons. The Royals really, really played. They played good cricket, and the rain obviously spoiled a good game. The Falcons were looking quite good, but obviously the Royals held their nerve and won that with the DL, the Duckworth Lewis against the Trinbago Night Riders. Andrew, it was just total nerves. I thought that the Trinidadians really came out and supported TKR, and it was good to see a lot of Trinidadians in the crowd on a Friday night at Kensington Oval. And obviously, it came down to an over by Jason Holder, and he did hold his nerve and TKR ended up winning a big match, you know, rivalry Trinidad and the Royals. But they'll have to make amends when they meet again. But when we got to the guy that was on Warriors, Andrew, one would expect a very good game. We are residing in Barbados, and I have some Guyanese neighbors, And they were happy. They said, look, Barbados won the game because they played the better cricket, but it was a good cricket match. And that is what you want to see in T20 cricket. Obviously, Quinton de Kock played a fantastic T20 innings. The pitches, as I said earlier, actually were quite good. The outfield at Casanova is still in good shape despite all the rain that we've had. I would still like to see that a little greener, but you know, that's the way how they prepared the outfields and the pitches as well. But we have to commend them, the ground staff, for what they're doing. But we played against Amazon Warriors. I thought that we played a solid, the Warriors played a solid T20 game all the way through. Amazon Warriors, about some of their leader, he was sick, and some other players, but I thought that the way which the Warriors held their own in that game was good. Jason Holder obviously bounced back from you know, Friday night. I heard a clip from the head coach saying that when we lose as a team, and Jason is the main man. And the main man did show up on Saturday, and he made a miss. But he's a well-loved cricketer in Barbados and through the region and across the world. And obviously, he was he did wonderfully well. He did what was expected of Saturday. And one thing that pleased me with his batting is that he started hitting the balls for sixes. And that's what I like to see with a big, strong, tall man. You got the leverage, you got the pit, you got the skills, hit the ball for six. Don't feel for anybody. And I thought he batted well. And then he came out and he bowled well. And to get Shehu up out the dangerous Shehu, bump him out, I thought that was fantastic. So it just goes to show that when you have the confidence to do things and your coaching staff is supporting you 100%, as we saw inside with the Royals, you know, they executed well and they won the game. I also like to commend Rivaldo Clark, the young keeper, who deputized with Quinton de Kock. He looked pretty decent behind the stumps as well. So there are a lot of good things going forward from the Royals, Andrew, and one can only hope that they can continue to go from strength to strength. Some of the young players within the Royals setting will get the opportunities that were stolen. And I do hope they do. Andrew is also a young keeper from Spartan, Gibson. I think that we have to try and get him into Barbados setup because there are a lot of keepers that I think that can push for honours in this cricket as well. I believe they expose as many as our players as well. So I think that he's one that can be shipped out to another franchise and given the opportunity to play in this CPL as well. So there's a lot of good things that have happened for the Royals, Andrew. Let's hope they continue to grow from strength to strength. I'd love to bring home the bacon, as they say, for the 2024 CPL. The CPL competition.
No, let's go to George first. George, what's happened to the Falcons? Can you tell me?
Well, the two first games could have gone either way. The Falcons started off well, and In those two games, catches win matches. The two guys who were dropped in the two games, consecutive games,
right,
went on and they won the game for their team. So the Falcons had some hard draw. I think that because they're a young team, they're not fully gelled as yet. So I think by next year, they should get some more experienced players. And I think they're changing their teams too fast, too much of a shifting and toggling around. That's my opinion. In terms of, you're talking about how come the CPL is getting all these fans. It comes down to effective marketing, all right? You're hearing about these matches up here. When the West Indies is having its T20 or when we're having our regional T20, we don't hear anything about them on the radio, on the TV, or anywhere, all right? And also the playing time, the time in which they're playing. They're playing in the evening where people are home from work, relaxing, and want somewhere to go. So that is why you're seeing so much fans are attending the game. Quick question. Is scalping illegal in the West Indies?
Sachin?
That's retail sale to me.
Sachin?
It's illegal.
It's illegal? Did they put that on the tickets that it is?
Sachin?
From my perspective, no, this is not a legal perspective per se. As far as I know, it's not illegal. It's just simply buying and selling. It's simple principles of business. That's
supply and demand. Which
some of us were taught in secondary.
I must say that a couple of players that I'm very impressed with, Shamar Springer, he's come on a long way. I like him.
Yes.
Also, Harty looks good. And as we see that Mikel Louis, he has another gear. We thought that he was just a blocker. This guy can play shots. I'm also impressed with this young opener from Trinidad. He times the ball sweetly. I can't remember his name.
from TKR. Very good prospect, this youngster. And hey, you guys are not talking about my boy, Alzari. He looks good, looks fit, looks fast. Come on, guys. You got to give him props. When he's bowling badly, everybody complains. Now he's coming. Now he's back. Firing on all cylinders, looking fit, looking positive. And, you know, bowling much more economically. I don't hear anybody talking about that.
I see Basil. George, that 9 runs economy rate is not good.
Still have time. He will come down.
He's an international player, George. But,
hey, Nokia goes to big runs too. The faster they are, the further the ball goes, you know.
Narke is going at 8 runs.
8 and 9 is not too far, you know.
Yeah, but Narke has picked up 11 wickets. Alzari's, 5 wickets? Alzari got to get that economy.
He's coming, better. Trust me. He looks good.
He must be about 18th in the wicket tally so far.
He looks good. You must admit that he looks good.
At the time in which he's bowling,
you're going to get hit around. When you're bowling at the depth, you're going
to
get hit around.
Defend him. You don't need to defend him. Alzari is our top.
That's my boy.
Fast bowler, so no need to feel you must come to his rescue. I'm sure he's quite safe.
Yeah, well, George, it's still early stages for St. Lucia. Not really early. They played 6 games. Mm-hmm. So Alzari still has a chance to get that run rate down when he gets to Guyana and Trinidad.
Yes, indeed. I agree.
Well, what I would like to know really is from George or from Philo and Basil, who are the 2 teams you expect to be fighting it out at the end? A bit premature, but based on what you've seen, who are the 2 teams you feel, you know, are the quality of the top 4?
I got Guyana and Barbados. TKR is always going to be a tough team to beat. And Guyana. Those are my 2 top
teams. So that's one variance. Both of you have TKR. One has Guyana, one has Barbados. Philo, break this tie, please.
Philo?
I think that the Royals are playing well. They've played a solid T20 cricket thus far. And I think that they can go all the way. When you look at Guyana at home is always going to be problematic. And I would think that Barbados and Guyana would be the 2 teams to make the finals, because I think that in those 2 franchises, the batters are adaptable. When you look at TKR, if the pitches and the surfaces are not suitable for their stroke, they crumble. They don't readjust. They still go looking for big runs. And if you look at St. Lucia Kings have been very sporadic with their batting. And the Johnson Charles at the top and Flaff the Plusi, if they don't get good surfaces to bat on, low surfaces, like maybe they get in Trinidad and Ghana, they're going to trouble. They're going to struggle. And if they don't get the starts, then you're going to fire off the chase, and those guys really have it to come to the fore. So I think that when you look at it, the 2 adaptable franchises in relation to batting a bullet is the Barbados Royals and the Ghana Amazon Warriors.
And I think it would be nice to see that old rivalry of Guyana against Barbados revived, you know?
Indeed. But gentlemen, the news here from Kensington Oval is that, well, I mean, we had certainly some rain recently, but around 7:20 or so, we're going to be getting the toss. So what we're going to do, the toss is at 7:05, and the match starts at 7:20, of course, weather permitting. Okay, so that's the news coming from Barry Wilkinson, who is the deputy executive producer. He hasn't risen to the position yet as executive producer. That will come after Hendy Wallace, who joins us here on the commentary, tells us that we should promote him. So then 7:05, time for the toss. And then, of course, at 7:20, hopefully some cricket. So what we will do then, we were scheduled to stop at 7, but we're going to keep going a little bit longer. We're going to invite your calls as well, 441-790. Give us a call and tell us how you feel about the CPL. But let's pause for business calls, missing and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ESFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy,
All right, the lines are open, 4341790. Give us a call and participate. We go until just before 7:20. I see, George, you've got your hand up.
You know, George? I was talking about the youngsters, but how could I forget young Joel Andrew?
Joel Andrew. Do you like him? You like Joel Andrew?
On the cricket chat last year, I told you guys we have a Joel in Joel Andrew.
A Joel in Joel Andrew?
Yeah, that's what I said last year. And nobody took it up. But he's very promising.
What do you like about him, George? What do you like about Joel Andrew?
His confidence, maturity, and his ability to get the ball around, work the ball around. I like that. Mm. And for a young 17-year-old lad who is hitting the ball, timing the ball so sweetly, it's very, very impressive. You know, he has a long way to go. I think he'll go places.
Philo, anyone catching your eye so far?
Andrew, to be honest, I like he played for TKR. He's the Barbadian
Shaquille Parrish. You like him?
I think Andrew, he's special. He times the ball quite well.
Yes.
It's just unfortunate that he gets out, you know, against a runner player. But I thought he batted with some common sense. I thought Justin Graves as well when I saw him the other day. He batted well. He didn't try to do something that he should not have done. When you bat that deep, you have to go all the way through. But again, it's good to see him getting time, spending time in the middle and getting some cricket. I really commend him as well. But I like Shakir Powers. I think he looks like one for the future, Andrew. And I do hope that these young players will be given the opportunities. I know TKR is quite keen on getting some of those young players up to the IPL to get them, you know, be woven into their structure. But I think that the local territorial boards as well, Andrew, need to play a part in helping to develop these fellas outside of the CPL. I think that after the CPL, Andrew, all these young cricketers that have been involved should be called to a meeting and let us discuss, well, not us, but let the boards or the territorial boards discuss their future in relation to red ball cricket. Because we don't want these guys to be learning to only white ball cricket, Andrew. Mm. We need to get these guys to play a red ball cricket. Now, you can see the talent already of white ball. Need to get that transfer now into red ball cricket, but they have to be encouraged to play to see the benefits of playing red ball cricket as effective as they're playing the white ball cricket as well.
All right, so the news then from Kensington, we're live at Kensington Oval, the toss at 5 minutes past there of 7 o'clock. That's in just about another 10 minutes or so. So we'll be going to just around 7:20. Of course, we'll be joining the beat for the broadcast. 4417790, give us a call and participate in the show. Doc, have you had a chance to go to any of the matches?
No, Andrew, I haven't been to any of the matches. But
why is that, Doc? Why are you not going to the CPL?
Well, I've gone previously, but not this time. But I do appreciate that, you know, what the guys have been saying. One of the questions I'd asked at the inception of the tournament was the development of young players and the ability for us to find another generation of T20 players. And from listening to George and Philo and Basil, they've mentioned that at least six young players that we can look at. And as Philo made the point, it's important to try to transition and to move our white ball teams forward, just as they do in India with the IPL, to try to for some continuity and to give us a chance to become champions again in the version of the T20. Another thing that's gone well is the attendance that we mentioned earlier, and you know, we've seen some strategy and also an influx of some of the players from overseas. So I'm hoping that this will take CPL to the next level. You know, we've talked about the prime ministers and others saying that from a financial standpoint, they'd like CPL to make a bigger contribution. But indeed, if we as a region can help to make CPL more successful, then it would give the Cricket West Indies a chance to have a bigger slice of that pie and maybe increase what they get per year, which will help to build our cricket. So there's so few avenues for revenue earning outside of the ICC for Cricket West Indies. So this is one of the pivotal things that needs to be developed. So we have to see how, as a region, we can maybe help the CPL to get into the black and really start to inject some of those funds into all the franchises and into cricket in all the islands.
Andrew, I don't really want to forget Kadeem Allen as well, who had an opportunity here in Barbados, and also Kevin Wickham. I know that the Warriors are planning to do some work with Kevin Wickham to just toughen him up a bit. And I commend them. I spoke to a couple of them. And I hope that does come true and that Kevin Wickham can embrace what they have planned for him, because it can only make him a better cricketer, because the Royals realize that he has a talent. And Kevin Wickham has to understand that along with talent, you have to work hard. If you don't work hard and you have talent, then you're just going to be a normal cricketer. And if you want to be special, you have to work hard. So there's something in the works for him, and I hope he embraces it. And he comes, he takes it on board, and he returns to us as a better, focused cricketer. And I think that these are the things that need to be done with our young cricketers and through our talent. Even the Joel Andrews, they can get a little naughty with the success they're having at the CPL. So you need to pull them in line and let them know that they need to work a little harder in the game in order to become really great and to be top-notch. Because at the end of the day, Andrew, if you're batting, you've got to be consistent in scoring runs. If you're bowling, you've got to be consistent in taking wickets and bowling good line and lengths. Can't complain and say the sun is stuck on the pitches, this and that. You've got to go do your job. So these are the things that these young men need to understand when they make the transition from the junior level to the senior level, to the IPL, to the CPL, and into international cricket. The higher you go, the harder it gets. So the more work you need to do. And I hope that the young men are prepared to do the hard work in order to be successful for themselves and for West Indies cricket and for the individual territorial boards as well when they represent them.
Just before Basil comes in, we got a WhatsApp coming in. Good evening, Andrew and guests. I think the Royals have just pulled off two good cricketers, Kadeem Allen and Rivaldo Clark, and they've got a good future. Looking forward to seeing them in the upcoming 50-over competition. So that's a WhatsApp message coming in. Continue to send them to us. We've got a couple more we can read. Of course, you can call us at 441790. Yes, Basil?
Well, Andrew, I've heard you guys, the Bajan guys, speak highly of this guy, Clark, as a wicketkeeper. And I remember you guys were very upset that Dalrych was behind the stumps instead of featuring that youngster as a wicketkeeper. But another person that is quietly been having I might be conservative in saying quietly, is Mr. Mayers. Mr. Mayers has done a very adequate job batting and his bowling. And yeah, reminding the selector, Mr. Sammy, I am still here.
Yes, Kyle Mayers does not look bad. Okay, let's take a call. Hello, welcome. Mason and guests.
Good evening. Couldn't help but hearing you talk about the young guys. Yes, we've got young guys, but we need to change the attitude, because I remember when Brian Lara first heard about Sir Gary, it was, is this the sobers? And that kind of respect told you, that sets forth volumes. Our young guys now seem to think they know everything, and they sometimes, and more often than not, they refuse to listen to the people who've been there and done it. And that's why our cricket is suffering. They know more than the experienced people, lots of them. I think that's the disease that's bothering us. Good night.
Just before you go, ma'am, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
She's still with us, Ronnie? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
All right, have you been watching some of the CPL and listening?
Not some of it. Every bit of it. I'm a cricket fan even before you were, Andrew, because I'm older than you are.
Oh, really?
Yes,
wonderful.
Yes,
did you go to any of the games at Kensington?
No, I haven't been to any of these, regrettably, because I'm not top of the world, so I can't go. I watch every game on television.
Okay, you're watching every game.
Top of the world, I'll be at Kensington.
Kensington, yes, the region's mecca.
You don't have to go to the region's mecca, according to you, to observe cricket and be able to talk about it. Because I've been watching
cricket
from the time I was 14 plus at secondary school, when we used to get half day,
really?
Half day or one whole day for a test. two half days or one whole day. What? And our senior students would always go to Kensington. So I probably was a cricket fan before you were, Mr. Mason.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Just call me Andrew. Don't make me that old.
Yes, Andrew. I was a cricket fan.
All the best.
And sometimes I have to disagree with comments you make because your comments don't always really say it. But I know Dr. Ford is spot on. Dr. Ford is always spot on.
Oh, hold on, hold on.
You must listen to him
more
often. So, you must listen to Dr.
So is it that you disagree because I criticize the players, ma'am?
No. It's not because you criticize the players. Sometimes I wonder if you really know
your
cricket.
Give me one example.
I can't tell you offhand.
No, but that's not fair to me.
But I'll write them down in future, and then I'll call back sometime and let you know what I mean.
Well, I think you should call next week.
I do appreciate Dr. Ford's comments, and I think he is a definite plus for your program. Anyhow, I can't stay any longer.
Okay.
Bye bye.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. 441-790. You can give us a call and participate. The St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots. I mean, what has gone wrong? I mean, you've done an assessment of them, George Ferris. Can you talk to me about them?
I'm not sure about what's going on with the Patriots. They've been very inconsistent. I don't know if there is something going on behind the scenes. I don't know if Basil found out the issue with our guy, the gentleman, the young man from Guyana, who went
Rutherford.
Yeah,
there got to be something going on behind the scenes, because to me, I'm just guessing. I haven't heard anything. To me, they're not playing like a I don't know, together unit. That's what I think. There's something going on that we don't know about. I may be wrong, but from looking from a distance, how many thousand miles away? They don't look unified. They don't look united. They're not playing as a team. I may be wrong.
All right. Let's go back to telephones before Baz the Butcher tells us why his fellow Guyanese left the team. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Peace be on to each and everyone. I eat perfectly. And what to say? And I absolutely agree with that lady. She's absolutely and perfectly right about you, Mr. Mason.
Based on what?
Hello?
Give me an example. Is it because I criticized Jason Nola for his performance on Friday?
No, you always criticizing Jason. And I got
That's
a friend
true.
That loves
give...
to listen to you. I have a friend that loves. But I know you listening, Dave. You probably must be clapping his hands and saying, yeah, you see what I told you?
But well, that's not true. If Jason does well. In fact, Jason Nola is one of my favorite cricketers.
But you?
You don't believe that, do you?
If you have a friend.
I hear that, Ronnie, but true.
If you have friends and you cannot put them right, you are not their friends. So I would give in for that one. If you have friends and you cannot tell them if they're going wrong or criticize them constructively, you're not their friend.
Right.
So I give you a break.
All right.
But
so
I don't.
Will you give your
Hello?
Are you still in Dominica?
My priest is still alive.
Gail?
And I want he's alive. Yes, please. My priest is still alive, so once he's alive, I'll be here.
Right, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you very much indeed for calling us.
You're
and
welcome.
I'm sure you're enjoying the CPL.
Of course, and I hope that my country win tonight.
Right, indeed. Well, we're just seconds away from the toss. We'll certainly let you know what's happening as far as that is concerned. You can continue to call us at 441-790. Yes. What we're going to do, we're going to pause our business calls. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion, look at the CPL. Mason and guests brought in association with our good friends at ASAP Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da
day is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the toss just completed. Barbados Royals won the toss and they are bowling first. Barry Wilkinson tells me that. In fact, as I speak to you, you've got the captain of the Barbados side speaking to the media. So the news is the action starting at 7:20, weather permitting. We had lots of rain just around 5 o'clock. And the news is that the Barbados team, the Royals, win the toss and bowling first. Let's go to the two cricketers on the panel. Philo Wallace, first of all, are you surprised by that decision or that was predictable?
No, Andrew, I think it's predictable. When you look at it, the Barbados Royals are playing a very low, dejected, say, Kitts and Nevis Patriots. Mind you, they have Evan Lewis, who's, you know, battling well, Kyle Mears, obviously, he's back home in familiar conditions. So, the Mikael Louie, obviously, has shown us that he had a bit lower. He
Philo, we're not hearing you.
Oh, accidentally muted himself, it seems.
We accidentally. But what we can tell you is that they've dropped Reval Leclerc and brought in Naeem Young into the side. They've also brought back Rakeem Cornwall. And arrested Naveen. All right. So say that again, Barry. They've dropped and not rested him. They've dropped him. Okay, he's not playing. And they brought in. Naeem Young is in the side. Rakeem Cornwall is back. And Naveen Ahok is rested. So, Philo Wallace, what do you think about those changes?
Well, they're giving opportunities to the players, obviously. And they're rotating. And they know
they're rotating.
Going into Trinidad and Ghana is going to be harder. I'm sure I'm very disappointed in Cornwall, Andrew. I don't understand why a man would have allowed himself to just dribble through cricket like that, because he's just dribbling through the game. I'm really, really surprised at the way he's played. He's not even bowling as well. I thought that his bowling would have really add to the next dimension. And his batting is totally gone off ball. He's just, if the ball is not in a certain zone at all, he just doesn't move his feet to hit the ball. It's all hands. He's batting, as the people would say, like Blight Inez. And I think that Cornwall needs, if he really wants to continue to play cricket, and I'll show a bit more unfun interest. He just can't give your wicket away and, you know, don't make no significant contributions, particularly with a bat, because we know what he is in the field. So you need to make contributions with a bat and more meaningful, you know, be more purpose-like for you out there. So let's hope that, you know, that he can get his game together and really do what the Royals expect of Cornwall. You know, and the other players will be given opportunities, and we just have to hope that they go there and do well and continue the winning ways. They want to leave Barbados winning. So when they get down to Trinidad and Ghana, winning is not foreign.
I see. Let's go quickly to St. Lucia and talk to Julian Charles. He just joins us. Julian, we were waiting for you since about 6:15. What happened? Were you caught in the traffic lane, both of you? And you're muted. We want to hear you, Julian. Can you help him, Dr. Ford? He's on now.
Sorry, yes. I was doing some exercises and it just slipped me. And then I said, oh my goodness, I've missed the boat.
Yes.
2 minutes ago, and then I saw you send the message. So that's good. I'm really happy to be here.
you shouldn't say miss the boat, because in St. Lucia's missing the ferry.
Yeah.
Now, talk to us. You watch the games in St. Lucia. Your impressions, and let's also talk of the St. Lucia Kings.
Well, I think the Kings has a very good side. I'm sure you will agree with me. They're well balanced.
Yes.
Very good. A lot of depth in the batting. The bowling, you know, the bowling can be a little better, but then again, it's still a formidable bowling attack. So, as long as they take it serious, because the first game they played here, I think it was against Guyana. I didn't like the manner in which some of the senior players got out. I mean, if we've been the captain is one of the best players in the world. I mean, he's retired from international cricket, Fabs, but he's a fantastic player. And when he would choose that high risk shot, I mean, that's the modern game. but it's a very high risk shot to do a scoop in the first or second over when so much of the batting depends on you. And off a fast bowler like that, then he missed the ball and he was out, and it was difficult for them to recover. And in the second game, Johnson, my countryman, who was batting so very well, played a switch hit at a time where when he was batting really, really well against Trinidad and against Narayan at that. But he's in very good form. But to play a switch hit at that stage where I believe that Fabs had already gone as well. I could be corrected on that, but they are the two main batters. Mind you, they bat deep, but at the same time, you know that if Fabs or John O bats deep, they've got a very good chance. But they rebounded against St. Kitts and against Antigua. They were, they were on point, and it was good to see young Akim Ogis, who have been given a chance this year. Get among the runs, get him 35 well played runs. So they're looking good, and so Pet, I believe, is the New Zealander. He has been playing pretty well. So the Kings are looking good. As long as they could win about two more games against Barbados, I think it's on Saturday and Sunday they can play against Barbados. So this will determine how far they go in the competition, but. Based on what I'm seeing, I think they will be there or thereabout in the final.
Well, we got another 6 minutes left before we wrap it up on Mason and Guests. Of course, the news coming from Kensington Oval, the Barbados Royals win the toss, and quite predictably, they will bowl first. And we're looking forward to the action. We're going to be joining the beat, of course, for the ball by ball commentary. I see Barry Wilkinson and Hendy Wallace already getting ready to do some commentary for you. So, gentlemen, let's start to go around at the table, so to speak, and look to a couple of other games as well, a couple of other teams. Let's start with you, George Ferris. Look into your crystal ball. We are now going to be in Trinidad and Tobago, then Guyana. If you had to pick a winner or two teams you think will maybe make it to the finals, who do you think those two teams would be?
Well, Andrew, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't believe in that at all. That's not... But if I'm supposed to pick a team right now,
yes,
that's a hard one to do. You're putting me in
a hard one to hard one to
they
do.
Some good teams.
Good teams.
I like TKR. I always like TKR.
They're yes,
balanced side, and with Narayan, Horan, Hollard, man, they've got some good.
Sal McKeel as well. I think
players.
Yeah, and in Guyana, I think he could be a key with his Chinamans and his Googlies, along with Narayan.
Yes.
If they're bad, I think TKR could be a team to really watch.
That's right.
Your two teams would be TKR and?
Amazon Warriors.
Amazon Warriors. And your dark horse?
The Barbados.
The Barbados Royals.
The Royals, yes. The Royals.
Okay, I thought you were going to say the Falcons.
Oh, no. I'm a realist, remember?
You're a realist, right. Basil Butcher, talk to me. How's it looking so far? Can you pick a winner?
I think the Warriors would be one of the teams. The only concern I have with the Warriors, however, with them, the inflow of the players that are gone and come in, right now we don't have Gorbaz for the next three games, and then he returns for the last three games in Guyana. So the top order is going to be the opening pair. Is going to be something in flux. The captain, who is a really important bowler in the middle overs in Tahir, he's going to be out for several games that they have brought in an Englishman, an Australian-born English player to replace him as a leg spinner. So those are some uncertainties right now. Shepherd is still working his way back to get into the side. So those things have a little concern for me as an Amazon Warriors fan in terms of them retaining, getting back to the finals. But again, I agree with George. Trinidad is a team you can never overlook because of the experience. They've been there. They've done that. And Barbados, I must say, in terms of Barbados, one of y'all big guns has not struck yet, Mr. Dave Miller. And
yes,
we all
yes.
know, we know the quality of Miller.
Right.
And he has not struck yet. So that gives Barbados even more impetus going down towards the you know, in the next two venues that they're going to play to make a push towards getting into the final, at least the playoffs, and then, you know, anything could happen once you get into the playoffs.
Gentlemen, we got another 2 minutes left on the show. Let's quickly go to Dr. Ford, then we're going to go to Philo and Julian, and we wrap it. Dr. Ford, talk to me.
Barbados and Guyana and Trinidad, Dark Horse.
Barbados and Guyana and Trinidad, Dark Horse. Interesting. Philo?
Yeah, Andrew, well, I already said I supported the Royals and Guyana, Amazon Warriors to get the finals. And obviously, you can't rule out TKR. The experience is there. The caller, the lady mentioned experience. So TKR have the experience. They'll be my dark horse if Barbados or Guyana don't get to the finals.
Mm. Julian Charles, talk to me.
I just want to say a quick hello to George. George Ferris, is that George?
Yes, George Ferris.
I didn't realize.
Hey, teammate. How you doing, teammate?
All right. All right. Well, we haven't seen over 20 years or so.
Wow. Really?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Good to see you. I think all the teams are good. Good teams. I think the standard of cricket is much higher this year than we have seen in the past. Guyana, you kind of write off because they play very hard cricket. They've always played hard cricket. But I would go for the Kings. I think Guyana, the Kings. Yeah, because the Kings, they are hungry for it.
Right.
And they were in the finals not twice, not too long ago. And I think this is the best team that they've had.
Okay. So the Kings. All right. Well, gentlemen, I'm live at Kensington Oval. Thanks to Ronnie Clark, of course, the executive producer. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. Thanks to you, George Ferris. Of course, we heard from Sachin earlier, Basil Butcher Jr., and Philo Wallace, who's going to make his way from the Legends Red Across. As I speak to you, just a small gathering here of spectators. The news is that the Barbados Royals, they won the toss. They'll be feeling. And of course, we're going to be bringing the commentaries for you on the beat. I'm Andrew Mason. All we'll do now is to go back to Ronnie Clark. He's going to do what he has got to do. And we're going to be joining the cricket live on the beat. Good night.